2 Timothy chapter 1, we'll read verses 8 and 9. To our brother Timothy, our brother Paul says, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God." And here will be our focus in the 9th chapter. "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." We'll pause there and bow our heads together and ask his blessing on our lesson tonight. Heavenly Father, we praise you this evening. Thank you, Lord, that we can put on the garment of praise in the midst of our heaviness, if that be where we are just now, Father. We thank you, Lord, that despite the heaviness, Father, that can be upon us, we can trust you, and we can lean on you, and we can depend on you, Father, to gather us and carry us through those heavy times, Lord. And I pray that you would bless us tonight. And may tonight and in this time of fellowship and the time in your word and this time in prayer be an opportunity that we might put on that garment of praise. Bless us as we consider your word. Bless us as we consider your exhortations to us. Bless us as we draw near to you. I praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, you see all the work that's taking place outside, and a number of different people have contributed their efforts to tearing things up and demoing things, and soon they'll be contributing their efforts to building those things back up in an appropriate manner, certainly. As I've been preparing for these days to come, I've been thinking about all the number of people who over the course of these years have, well, applied their respective skills, and sometimes when I look and see the things that have been done, I say skill rather tentatively, because oftentimes the ones that went before we owned this building, they had more good intentions than they had skill. Now, they got things done, but it wasn't always done, perhaps to the best manner that it could have been done. That being said, I'm grateful for all of the skills that are contributed to this building. I'm grateful for all the skills that are present here among us. Each one of us have our own respective talents and our own respective capabilities, and I trust that you seek the Lord in how to apply those things to your walk of faith, how you apply those talents and skills to our assembly, how you apply them to your neighbors, how you apply them to those that live in your house with you. That being said, we can misapply those things. Well, we can misapply those talents as, let's just look at it from the context of our church assembly. The talents that we have present here. I had a friend, unfortunately, he's rather past tense. He was a very skilled man, skilled in a lot of different ways, a lot of different material skills, a lot of understanding and practical knowledge, and he would complain to me a number of times in the past. He'd complain to me how his church used to abuse him. Not ever paying him, but always expecting him to use his very valuable technical skills around his respective assembly. And he's like, is that right that they would use me in this, 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 and this, which is my livelihood and my capability and all of that? I said, well, no, it's not right. That's not how the Lord would have things to be. But that's between you and the Lord, and it's between you and them, and so on and so forth. So oftentimes, you can abuse the talents that are present. Other ones have accused me and accused this assembly for not utilizing their talents that they have, that they figured that they had in abundance, and have accused us of misappropriating those talents that are there. And that too is not good, to feel like you've been abused, or that you have this abundance of talents that's not being put to good use. Now, why is that a trouble? Just because we have an ability, and just because we have a desire to use that ability in the church space, or anywhere else for that matter, we might be entirely skilled at something and want to use that skill to the glory of God, and there are times when God says, I don't want your skill. I don't want that talent in this specific context. He might not have any interest in tapping into what we think is quite an incredible resource. Well, we might be right, but the Lord doesn't always want our resources. You see, God doesn't need our talents, you understand. He might use them. He might absolutely say, yes, you are good at this. I'm going to utilize that for this obvious and practical and pragmatic application. But you understand that where he doesn't have that skill, he can craft it where he wants to. He can do whatever he chooses. One of my favorite passages that demonstrates this is in Matthew chapter 3. Let's turn over there, verse 9. We know that God is capable at bringing skill where skill wasn't. We know that Gideon, who was the least in his tribe and the least of his family, was enabled to be the deliverer of Israel. A deliverer of Israel. We know that he took a shepherd in David and he made a king out of him, made a giant slayer out of this man who spent his time in the fields. God doesn't need us to be talented or capable naturally. John the Baptizer spoke to the Pharisees and Sadducees, not about skills necessarily, but something right along those lines. They were so proud of their Jewishness and so proud of their exclusivity in their Jewishness and in their understanding and their knowledge. And John says this, "Do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. You say that you have the bloodline, and you say that you have the pedigree, you say that you have all of the qualifications that are isolated and exclusive only to you by virtue of your birth. This rock right here, God can make the most pristine bloodline of Jew that he wants to. He can do it. He can do those things. He doesn't need a bloodline to make a bloodline, and he doesn't need your skill to give you the skill that you need. I value that in the Lord, and I'm grateful for his power that his grace does not on me depend, and neither do, his works. They don't depend on my skills and my capabilities. It's just as Paul told Timothy. He says, God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Now, it speaks of the law, and it speaks of not by works that I have done that we've obtained righteousness, but it speaks right along line with what we're talking about today. We've been called to a holy calling and a number of holy callings, a number of holy appointments, a number of holy assignments that the Lord has for us, not necessarily according to our own works or capability of working. I'm, again, grateful for that. He can work in me exactly what I need in order to do of his good pleasure. All the holy callings that God has for my life, that he has for your life, well, he'll enable you for that. He calls us to do what he desires, not what we think is necessarily practical, regardless of our works and regardless of our intended works. Jeremiah spoke rather famously, notably, in regards to what he thought was impossible. And he expressed what he thought was impossible to the Lord. And there's an example that the Lord enables us to do what we believe is impossible. Then the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Before I formed you, the Lord said to him, in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I what I knew to be so. Then said I, Jeremiah says, what he knew would be the hindrance there. Behold, I cannot speak, I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, and do not say what I'm limited by in any other capacity. For you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. The Lord knows what he can enable us for. The Lord knows what we can do by him. He enables us to do what we believe is impossible. But likewise, he enables us to put a cap on the things that we think must be so. That we must have this capability, and so we must use it. And we must use it in this capacity because it's so obvious what I'm gifted in. And it must be so that I take this capability and this desire and this urgent intention and put it into this field and in this context. Now the Lord can say, let's just cap that. Let's just hold that. David wanted to build the temple we mentioned here recently. He had the capability. He had the means. He certainly had the resources. And the Lord said, nope, you're going to cap that intention. I'm going to give that appointment over to your brother. He said, or not your brother, your son, excuse me. Our brother, Solomon. The word of the Lord came to me, David said, saying, you have shed much blood and have made great wars. You shall not build a house for my name. He had his reasons, and he told David so. He says, no, we're going to put your skills someplace else, and you keep your skills at all of this building and all these intentions and all your delegations and all of these things. Don't need those things. Saints, you don't need natural talents to serve God. Let's make that clear. You don't need to have any real talent naturally speaking, any real natural skills, I guess you could say. You don't need those things in and of yourself to serve God. What we need to be is talented to a measure in faith. And when I say talented, sometimes talent is just that innate, born in you kind of skill, just being adept at something. And not all of us, if any of us, none of us, if I'm being honest, in our flesh, we're not adept at faith. So what I should say is we need to seek to be skilled in faith. The Lord touches our hearts. He stirs our hearts to understand who he is and to believe who he is. But as far as being skilled in faith, we have to trust him for this. There are certain efforts that we can make. You know different ones who are like, my goodness, how can it be that in the middle of this circumstance, they hold faithful? Or how can it be that despite this struggle, they still demonstrate this testimony? You know people like that. Despite this pain, despite this issue, despite this crummy situation, they still seem to be giving it over to the Lord. There's a testimony that's there. Saints, it's not something that comes natural. It's certainly a supernatural thing. Paul teaches about there being a gift of special faith amidst those spiritual gifts that we read about in 1 Corinthians 12. Not all of God's people have this. He says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. This is a special gifting of that, a special provision of faith. Not everyone has that. But what does he tell us to do in regards to these spiritual gifts? Desire earnestly these spiritual gifts. That means we can ask him. Ask him to give us this. And if not this special gifting of it, at least deepen what I have. At least expand the capacity that I have. Deepen the measure of faith that I can have. Widen it out and help me to, well, to give that, give myself over to expand that faithfulness that is already present there. There are measures that only God can give. We can ask for that, but we can also take steps ourselves to deepen our faith, to strengthen our faith, to develop and grow it. Paul says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Do I need a special enabling to get into the Word of God? No, I don't. I just need to have the Word of God. I need to be able to read it or hear it, whatever the case might be, somehow get into it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Make the Word of God the center of your life, the center of your intentions and your purpose. Your faith will deepen. Faith will follow. There's no question. As you therefore have received Christ, Paul says in Colossians 2. He says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, you're a person of faith, you are a child of God, so walk in him. Walk by faith. Walk by this word that you have heard and continually heard. Apply this word. You're rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, now abounding in it with thanksgiving. So there's a gratitude that's supposed to be attached there. A gratitude in receiving this word and receiving, well, as you walk by faith with the Lord, being grateful for whatever it is that he walks you to. That deepens your faith, doesn't it? Lord, I know your word. I know you're present with me and I'm walking with you. I'm in your will and this garbage is happening to me. Thank you for that. And then walk further with him, and the faith is there. I mean, it deepens. You have that understanding. You come out on the other side, having experienced it and having taken that suffering in his name, in his presence and in his company. Faith follows, child of God. That's what happens. If you do these things, your faith will deepen. It will strengthen, and you will become more skilled in it. And faith will indeed become, ideally, your greatest talent. Your greatest skill, and the most valuable asset that you can offer to God. Leave alone all what you can do with your hands and with your mind and with your ambition and all of that sort of thing. If you have faith as your greatest skill, and you offer that to the Lord, my goodness, what he can do through you. Well, he can make you victorious. That's something that you can't do on your own. Saints, it's not of him who wills, nor of him who runs. These works aren't just entirely dependent on us, but of God who shows mercy. We trust him to do it. And it's certainly not our works that accomplish this, but it's our faith and our intentions of following him that he demonstrates this and teaches this to us in our works, in our willingness to work. It's God who has saved us and called us holy calling, not according to our works, not according to our talents or our skills, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Let's not limit the Lord to our talents and skills, because ultimately that's what it comes down to. Lord, this is what has to be done. No, you're not going to limit me in that. There's no assurance he wants your talent or your skill, naturally speaking. Invest your skill, invest your effort, invest your intentions into developing your skill in faith, and then you will be successful in everything and anything that he calls you to. That's what he promises us to do. Invest your skill in faith.